America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right, welcome back in to Sports Daily, everybody. Rick Regan in for Tommy. One more day. We'll get Tommy back tomorrow. Glad to have you with us on this Tuesday. You can go back and listen to anything you missed in the first hour by going to KFHradio.com. Our video streams also live forever. They're there on Facebook, YouTube, and X for you. Just search KFH. We will begin a partnership with 12 News on the show that will simulcast here next week, Monday. We'll have more information on that later in the week, but we're pretty excited about that opportunity. Looking forward to it. My worlds will collide even more as we do that, but that should be fun. We'll do it right as Big 12 Media Days are happening. We'll get some reports out there from Vegas where the media days are for the first time. I think it's just an incredible idea. I think it's going to be so fun and cool. We've got a giveaway going for you right now. If you want to win some HTOT and coffee, you can text the keyword TTEA to short code 20357. That is out there for you right now. Message and data rates apply. I want to say also a thank you to Prairie Fire Coffee, because mornings at KFH, the staff does enjoy a great cup of coffee from Prairie Fire Coffee, a big old jug of it, a tub of it out there in the Odyssey Studios. Always appreciate that. You heard some of it in Ted's update there. Lincoln Cure, he picks K-State. We thought he would pick K-State. He does pick K-State. It was down to K-State, KU, Oregon, and Texas A&M. So those were the four schools. What I loved, there were a lot of things I loved about this, and we'll get into Cure in just a minute. There are a lot of things I loved about this. It was old school. Made T.J. Cleland and the, you know, the K-State beats and a lot of others make the trek. It's a big drive out to Goodland, Kansas. And it's a big deal for a community like Goodland, Kansas. And it was old school, and you had the four hats, and he got to say his piece. You know, the whole town shows up to support him. He makes his pick. Everybody goes nuts. It happens live. It's not just a Twitter video or a picture or some social media. Like, it was a really cool, old school thing that I loved very much. It was almost nostalgic because we don't get those as often as we used to. And there's such a big deal in the moment for those kids, for those coaches, for those parents. Like, it felt like it was a flashback to, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago. And I know we still get them. We still get those announcements, and they're always fun. I appreciate and love when we do get them, especially when they're out there in a community like that. But K-State, and there is historical value here because K-State has never landed a five-star by some recruit. And you're going to get different, you know, you're going to get different recruiting services saying different things. But for the most part, this is the first one. You had Avery Johnson, who wasn't a five-star, but maybe was as high profile recently, the way he exploded onto the recruiting scene, went to, you know, the Elite 11 camps and did all those things and became one of the best quarterback prospects almost overnight, even though we knew it was coming for him. Lincoln Cure has been very much on the radar for a while. You don't become a five-star by accident. You're talking about, Rick, a state champion hurdler. He can run basically an 11-second 100-meter dash. He can, hit the high jump at 6'2". He was part of a state contending basketball team. And then, you know, the football player that he was last year, just under 1,000 yards, 14 touchdowns. This is an elite, elite athlete, which is why you get 5 stars. As a very exclusive club, he got it. K-State got him. And that's a big, big win for the Wildcats.
Well, he's a good-looking kid. Come on.
Yeah,
he's
he seems like a really good kid.
6'6", yeah. 200. I watched the thing on Channel 12, KWCH. It we spoke for, what, 3-4 minutes? Very nice kid. Surrounded by
thank yous.
Surrounded by his parents. You know, he's clean cut. Good, you know, just a good-looking kid. You want to root for him, and that's is that why it feels like it's so much of a step back in time watching
it
him?
It was old
know?
School, yeah. He's like the because you just don't get. The, I mean, it's in Goodland, right? There aren't a lot of Goodlands out there left, and so you know. But listen, I know that there's also him, you know, dancing with Avery Johnson on a TikTok video. So don't think it's not new school too, because it is. Like he's going to be fine. But yeah, you love to see the, you know, the gratitude given there at the thing. And that's all fine too. To each his own. But you're talking about a high level athlete. And if you could you can barely draw him any better, at least by, you know, statistics and everything else. I'm curious to know how K-State wants to use him. Cannot wait to find that out. Because yes, he is the size of a tight end. Especially when you consider how much, you know, like muscle and weight he'll put on by when he gets to college and gets in those weight programs. But he's got the athleticism when you hear some of those other things, and it's like, man, could he be like could this we be looking at some kind of a wide receiver at the same time? Like could this be a Travis Kelce-esque? Now, I don't want to take anything away from Kelce's blocking because he's a great blocker. And I'm sure that Kier would be too. But of course, the Chiefs utilize Kelce. They line him up out wide all the time. Is that the sort of weapon Lincoln Kier could develop into? They got another couple of good tight ends in Oakley and Wichita native, you know, Will Ancio up there too. So I love it because I think with Avery Johnson, when I think of a bunch of really good tight ends, and of course, Ben Sennett just got drafted into the NFL. And that's a good reason to pick K-State if you're Lincoln Kier. KU's, you know, Mason Fairchild had a pretty stellar career at KU too. And you know, while I know KU fans might be disappointed he picked K-State, here's what I will say. I don't think, Rick, that I haven't heard much animosity from KU fans. I'll say it that way. Whereas I think people, and I could be reading the room incorrectly from KU fans, but I do think there was a sense of pride just in that a kid stayed home, and we're seeing more of that, whether it's KU or K-State. Like, these kids are staying home now. And we said this yesterday. I think NIL has made that an easier thing to do. Where do you think Lincoln Kier, if he ends up being as good as, you know, I guess you could say projects to be, where do you think he'll have the most endorsement opportunity? In College Station, Texas, or in the state of Kansas? It's a Kansas kid.
Farm kid from Western Kansas? How could he not go to the Wildcats, really?
Well, but I mean,
you know, he's a farm kid. They're not going to go to KU.
Avery Johnson's not a farm kid, but he's a Kansan. And the opportunity for the local kids to be latched onto by sponsors potentially. It's just it's a bigger deal. I thought this would happen when this all started. I was like, I know everybody's worried that like Alabama and Georgia are going to just go buy all these players. That's not what we're seeing. Now, they're still doing plenty of that. But flashback, let's say, let's go back 6-7 years probably. You think the state of Kansas is able to keep a 5-star? With that kind of pedigree in the state? Or is it typical, you know, like Oklahoma swoops in or, you know, one of these other schools that has poached some of our better talent over the years?
I hear that, but let's face it. The K-State and the KU programs, football are in way better shape than they were.
Well, they are.
Five, six,
but I
seven
think that's
years
a part
ago,
of the I think that's a part of the reason they're in better shape, though, is because they're keeping the. Remember the K-State class of a couple years ago with Ancio, and there were four or five local kids. Now they get Dylan Edwards back where, you know, where he was originally going to be. Like these rosters are full of Kansas kids, K-State and Kansas. Aaron chimes in on our Facebook stream, KU fan. Says it was just exciting to have a five-star keep KU in his final cut. There is some of that, too, for KU. Now, I would say I think KU has graduated from that to some degree, Aaron. I think KU is no longer a just glad to be in the conversation school. I think they have been really good in the portal. They have a really good coach. They're about to have a new stadium. I think we can safely, and even if, you know, worst case scenario, Jalen Daniels just can't get healthy, even though I really, really hope he is. I think Kansas has graduated and we're past the past, right? They are beyond that now. I think that is far less of a concern. And so, yeah, I think having KU in the mix there was important. And I agree with that, Aaron. I think it was more about, though, just the two Kansas schools are who it felt like he was deciding between, you know. A&M was there, Colin Klein, the connection to A&M, I get it. Oregon's there, just probably because it's an awesome place to go take a recruiting visit. They just signed the Derby tight end, by the way, which is why we didn't really think they were much in the mix there. They just signed Brame out of Derby, who's another top five tight end in the country. Pretty odd that we had two of them sitting right here in the state of Kansas. But so it felt like it was down to K-State and KU. And that is the way it should be, Rick. When we have this kind of talent in the state. And look, KU and K-State are always going to get, you know, the three stars and deal in the, you know, the business that has made them successful over the years. But when you get up to the 4 and 5 stars, at least in the experience that I've seen, a lot of time, those are players that go somewhere else. And I think we're getting past that. And I think, look, KU's success has a lot to do with that, but so does NIL. So does facility. So does the ability to earn. All of these things matter. And I think we're going to see more of this. I think we're going to see more of the highest talent in the area basically just pick between those two schools.
Wouldn't it be great to get inside one of these heads? You know, how are you making? What's the decision process? What are you going through?
Well, we did. Lincoln? We did
a little bit. I mean, a little bit yesterday.
Cure is he? It's just such a fit. Okay, so I was going down this road earlier and I got sidetracked. So when I think of K-State, and I think a guy like Lincoln Cure, who's going to be a tight end, they have some good tight ends. They just sent Ben Sennett to the NFL. Avery Johnson is. I am with a lot of people. I think he's about to light up the league next year. I think people who didn't get to see him in high school and really only saw him in his time last year and saw how talented a runner he is are about to see how talented a thrower he is and how electric his arm is. When I think of all the things that probably will make him great, I think of Lamar Jackson. Big arm, can run like crazy, and Lamar Jackson, who's been a two-time MVP in the NFL, always leans into his tight ends because they can get wide open and they become a safety blanket as he's running around doing his thing. And like, you can't account for everybody and boom, there's a tight end. He's had great tight ends his entire career. And so when I think about Cure's fit, and yeah, they've got some good tight ends and I'm not ruling out the possibility that he just becomes as much of a pass catcher as he is a tight end. Like, I see all of these pieces fitting together with Avery Johnson in a perfect storm. And when you talk about all the different ways they'll be able to roll out players, now Dylan Edwards is there, and they already had DJ Giddens, and the variety and versatility they'll have offensively, and we'll see what life without Colin Klein continues to be like, but the variety that they could potentially run out there for the next 2 or 3 years of Avery Johnson is... I mean, it is. Like K-State fans got to be salivating right now. It's just, they just have to be. I mean, it is going to be such a difficult offense to contain if these pieces fit together like you could project them to do. and it is going to be a blast to watch them. And listen, KU fans, I think it's going to be a blast to watch the KU offense too. And Jalen Daniels and the way they have developed a passing game that feels unstoppable at times. I'll tell you this, Rick. I have futures bets on Avery Johnson to win a Heisman. I have future bets on Jalen Daniels to win a Heisman. I am in on these offenses, and I think they will. I think it will be a massive story, and it won't take long next year for the national audience to become captivated by the quarterback play in the state of Kansas. I think they're both going to contend for a Big 12 title. I think they're both going to contend for a playoff spot, and I think they're both going to have Heisman candidates under center. Now, are they, you know, Heisman finalists? I don't know, but there'll be two players that, if healthy, are in that conversation next year because their skill set seems to fit what they have so dang well, and the teams are going to be successful.
I think you're 100%. I think it's going to be a great long wait for Lincoln Cure to get there with Avery Johnson, but they're going to have a great year this year, and KU's going to have a great year. It's exciting right now to be a college sport fan in our state, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, if you're a K-State fan, you hope that Johnson and Cure play together because you'd have, you know, Johnson going into his sophomore year. If he develops into the superstar, he may not play a senior year. He may be gone after his junior year, which would be Lincoln Cure's freshman year, and Kenny, you know, who knows? But it's all irrelevant. You're just trying to and let me look at this too. I have not checked. Let me just check where this puts the K-State class for that 25 class. So let's take a look here because a 5-star is going to elevate things for K-State. So if we go to K-State now, boy, I'm going lower on this list than I thought I would have to. Hang on just a second here. I should have pulled this up during the break, but we'll get it up here. They're not even inside 24/7's top 50 at the moment. So let's that seems like that's crazy with a 5-star. Yeah. Oh, because they just don't have a lot of recruits. Okay, so they've got 9 3-stars and then this 5-star that puts them 62nd. So that'll go up. Kansas, by the way, Kansas is at 54th, still ahead of K-State in that, but. You'll see, I think, both of these teams start to become like top 25 class schools, I hope. I think that should be the goal, probably. They both obviously never needed that to be successful. Well, K-State's never needed that to be successful. KU in very recent years hasn't. And the transfer portal plays into this, too, a place where they've both had a lot of success. But doesn't it feel like, along with this success, we both think that is going to come next year? So will the recruiting success grow? Because I do. I think these can absolutely be perennial top 25, top 30 type recruiting schools in the new world if they can deliver on these next couple of years.
Yeah,
big players.
And your point about keeping the Kansas kids is big. I mean, those guys have been leaving our state for a long time. Maybe we even start pulling guys out of Oklahoma as our teams get better.
Well, I think you will. I mean, I think
we already but those higher guys.
I think a part of it for me is it just seems so attainable. Like let's say the goal is for both to be top 30 recruiting teams on a yearly basis. I don't think that's unreasonable. Oklahoma State has lived in that space. I think two things would need to happen, and you got to look at these classes now in totality. They need to be almost flawless in keeping Kansas kids in Kansas and also be successful in the transfer portal. I think that can be enough. I mean, they need to recruit the region still, right, and get, you know, 3-stars, maybe an occasional 4-star, regionally speaking. But if they can keep the best Kansas kids and they can continue to identify and have success in the transfer portal, I think you're going to see that goal achieved. And with that, basically, just the floor comes up a little bit, right? The ceiling has been high for a while with K-State. They won a Big 12 championship recently, all the things. But I think the floor comes up as you just continue to acquire and accrue talent that way. And keeping him in the state of Kansas is the most. I think if you asked Chris Klieman and Lance Leipold and got an answer from him, we will if we talk to him. Like, is keeping kids in Kansas, you know, is that the first priority? I would guess that they would say yes. because that's where you have to build the foundation of your program. It's going to be a great year. It is going to be a great year in the state of Kansas for college football. Better than we've had in a long time, collectively. We're going to have two Big 12 contenders. I think two national championship contenders.
Plus a whole bunch of new teams to play.
Which is going to make it even better. It's going to make it even more fun. I can't wait. They get Big 12 Media Days next week in Vegas. We'll get a report from Vegas out there. Don't worry. We're going to have lots of fun with that experience. I'm jealous of everybody going out there to cover it because it is a laid-back coverage experience. It's pretty chill if you're out there kind of working it a little bit. Lots of downtime in Vegas. Good place to have some downtime. All right, we'll come back. Aaron Rodgers took some downtime right in the middle of training camp. Not training camp, but mandatory workouts that he wasn't there for. We'll tell you where he was. Are we worried about it? What do you think of his chances, the Jets' chances this year? We'll look at some futures bets and some things like that. It's Sports Daily. It's all Brockton Regan. We'll be right back. Welcome back in, everybody. Glad to be here with you. It's Jacob Albrock, Rick Regan, and for Tommy Caster, it is Sports Daily. Tommy back in tomorrow as we make our way through a Wednesday. We'll have Royals baseball back tonight, and Royals baseball back for a little while until we hit the All-Star break. Big series coming up. We'll get more into that game tonight and look at the Rays series in just a little bit. All right, Rick, we get the Aaron Rodgers reason for the unexcused absence, as his coach called it. He had a pre-planned trip. We knew that much. But now it's SNY reporting that it was for a trip to Egypt that was booked while he was recovering from his Achilles tear. A quote from Connor Hughes giving him something to look forward to during one of the lowest points of his career. The Jets then, I think, changed the date on that mandatory minicamp, and it crossed over with the trip. And so, therefore, it was an unexcused absence that his coach and his owner didn't seem too terribly worried about. His teammates have not seemed too terribly worried about it. I have said that I'm sort of out on this. It's hard to imagine for me, Rick. And I'm not mad at Aaron Rodgers for not going to mandatory minicamp. I don't care as long as his teammates don't care. But what gives me pause about it is it's hard for me to imagine a guy at his age coming off of that injury who, you know, it's been a long time since we have seen him play at a really high level. But it's hard for me to imagine that he can just step right in and be awesome again. Now, he just needs to be better than they were. I get it. But, you know, right now we're looking at them. They're, according to ESPN Bet, the seventh best odds to win the AFC. I believe it's the 11th, you know, best odds. In best, I mean like most likely to win, you know, the Super Bowl. I don't know how this is going to work if Aaron Rodgers isn't fully committed, and he just doesn't quite seem fully committed to this, if that makes sense.
He should have been there. He should have been there. It's a team thing.
Cancel the trip and go, right?
Team thing. He should have been there. He knew when he booked that trip when he was injured.
Well, he didn't know when he booked it. He knew after.
When it was going to be. I mean, the dates of the trip weren't, you know, those dates are kind of in stone. It doesn't make any difference to me.
But when you got all the money in the world, is it really that hard to change the dates on your trip to Egypt?
When you've got all the money in the world, how do you stay motivated to show up?
Well, I think his motivation to be great is still there. I just don't know if it's the highest it's ever been. And when you have to overcome the things he'll have to overcome physically, which is rehabbing from an Achilles tear, which is being old, I think that makes it more difficult to not be 100% all in on it. And look, he may feel like he is. His teammates may feel like he is. But he wasn't there for a mandatory minicamp. And I just think that's a it's not, again, it's not that that like bothers me in some tremendous way. It just makes me not want to give it a chance to work. And by work, what do we mean? Win a Super Bowl, right? Like, yeah, they could get to the playoffs. They could do these things. But they didn't bring Aaron Rodgers into New York to get to the playoffs. Their expectation is to try to win a Super Bowl. And if he's not all in, it's hard for me to imagine. Their win total right now by Vegas, over under 9.5 wins. 9.5 wins. Do you see the Jets getting to 10 wins this year?
No. I don't see how Aaron Rodgers plays the whole season, actually. I know that's just way out of the blue, but these guys aren't completely motivated anymore.
Well, he's old.
He's going to the pyramids in UFC fights. He should be showing up in practice for the other guys.
He has been there for he's been there for everything else. Like, look.
Your leader.
It seems like his teammates, but move the trip. Move the trip. And here's what I will say. I don't love Aaron Rodgers. I don't hate, and I'm talking about from a sports perspective. I don't know Aaron Rodgers, so I don't, you know, have a personal feeling to him any one way. But as far as like from a sports perspective, don't love Aaron Rodgers, don't hate Aaron Rodgers, don't have a strong lean either way. I know a lot of people do. I don't. I want to see good quarterback play in the NFL more than anything else. I want every NFL game I watch to feature quarterbacks that are competent at that level. And so more than anything else, I just want him to be that. I really root for Breece Hall. And so I want the Jets to be successful. And I think if Aaron Rodgers is, full health, ready to roll, we are about to see Breece Hall with an opportunity that he has not had before in the NFL. He has almost been hamstrung by bad quarterback play. And we know what running backs, Aaron Jones, for all those years with Aaron Rodgers. Breece Hall has a chance to be incredible. So I root for their success, you know, maybe as much that as anything else. Mike says maybe the tickets were non-refundable.
Yeah.
Well, that's sort of my point. I think even if they were, when you make, you know, $40, $50 million a year, you could probably take the hit on a $900 plane ticket. I don't know. And again, it's fine. Like, do what you want to do. It just makes it harder for me to imagine that they can achieve their ultimate success. I want him to be really good this year because I think it's an incredible story. I think it'll make Breece Hall even better.
It makes football better.
It makes football better. It's interesting. I want to see what Garrett Wilson's capable of with a great quarterback because I think he's incredible. Again, like all these really good players that have been hamstrung by just some of the worst quarterback play in the league for a while, I want to see what they're capable of. And they just can't do it if Aaron Rodgers can't give them something. And at the end of the day, with all of it, the other really tricky part, Rick, is we don't even know what version of Aaron Rodgers we're going to get yet. Even if you don't factor in the injury, and you have to factor in the injury, especially when it is that injury, you have to factor it in. Yes, Aaron Rodgers, when you go back to 21 and 22, was your MVP, right? Incredible seasons. 2022, his last full season in Green Bay, it was okay. It was certainly better than what the Jets have had. Don't get me wrong. It was all right. 26 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, a far cry from where it was a couple of years before that. So, you know, if you look at that, we don't even know what kind of quarterback he still can be. Can he be what he was in 22? I think that's where you have to sort of draw the line because you cannot expect him to come back and be the back-to-back MVP guy of 20 and 21. You just can't expect. That's totally unreasonable. Well, so can he get back to what he was, you know, his last year in Green Bay?
Think of how he was
Think
of how he was at the end of last season. He was throwing the
last
the ball
season he was healthy.
Of this right, season. No. I mean, at the end of this past season, when he was saying rehabbing his
Achilles.
Yes, but he was throwing the football. Oh, could he come back for the last game? Could he get a play? I mean, Aaron Rodgers may be in great shape. He says, I don't need to go to practice because I just risk myself, and so I'm skipping. Then again, as the leader, you show up for the other guys. I saw an article where it showed at the I forget what they call the non-committed mini camp, you know, the one where they don't have to show up unless they want to. And five or six of the top money-making quarterbacks in the league were with Aaron Rodgers looking at pyramids, and Patrick Mahomes was at that practice. And he was throwing to guys because he's the leader of the team. And you hear talk of that all the time, that Aaron Rodgers or that Patrick Mahomes is, you know, dripping down on everybody else on that team. And they're all picking up his kind of attitude. Aaron Rodgers is going on a break. Is that the attitude you want to drip onto all the guys on your team when you're the Messiah? Let's face it. They treat him like he is everything. He is completely the coach. Lets him be what he wants to be. Ownership lets him be what he wants to be. He's not really held accountable a whole lot. It doesn't appear to be. And I think you got to go do that for the guys on the team. You're the man. If you're the man, you got to go be the man. And you can't just be the man when they see you on, you know, the ultimate fighting thing Saturday night.
Too many distractions. I agree. Too many distractions. Again, I hope it works.
Well, it's $25 million guaranteed. I don't understand how you get. I don't understand how these guys get motivated anyway. Ever since the Tatum deal popped up on TV, $60 million a year. When you're making $1 million a week, Jacob, how do you get motivated to go to work?
What do you mean? You're motivated to be the best.
You're making $1 million. Your off time is going to be pretty distracting.
You don't get to that point where these guys are if you're not already motivated to be the best.
I know.
And I think it's that simple. I understand. You're motivated to be the best.
I understand. I just don't understand.
I think it is $1 million
a week. Jacob, I give you a job. You pay you $1 million a week. How many weeks do you work at that job? Maybe it's just my age. You pay me $1 million a week after about a month and a half. You know, hey, I've been here an awfully long time, folks. Got my $6 million.
We all have different motivations. Your motivation isn't to be the best at it. I think when you're talking about Jason Tatum, when you're talking about Aaron Rodgers, I think one thing that is crystal clear about Aaron Rodgers is he wants to be the best. He wants that pretty badly, or he wouldn't still be playing.
He wants to be famous.
He does want to be, and a part of that is being the best quarterback. I mean, that's a part of it too. Nothing makes him more famous than he's not going to be nearly as famous, maybe infamous, if he comes out and falls flat on his face this year. I think the chances of that are fairly low. I think, you know, the floor is probably still better than what they had. Well, it's not probably. His floor is certainly better than what they've had. I don't think it's as much a motivation to be the best. It's just like, does he still have it in him to do the things it takes to do to be the best? Because at his age and coming off that injury, that has to be more probably than he's ever given it ever before. He's got an eye on politics. He's got an eye on entertainment. He's got an eye on all of these things. Can his eye still be on football enough to do it? I think it is perhaps and probably the most interesting story, at least of the early NFL season.
The greatest guys in the history of sports. Jacob, you never would have asked that question.
Correct. Not at their age. Again,
never,
toward the end of their career. Right.
Never would have asked them.
And we've never asked it about Aaron Rodgers before the last few years, to be fair. Like, it's only now a question for him. But even when Tom Brady was, you know, did you ever question whether Tom Brady loved football?
Come on. Of course
right?
not.
Did you ever? And Michael Jordan, we questioned whether he loved basketball there for a little stretch. He didn't. He played baseball.
I don't know. I just watched the Jordan thing again over the last couple of days. I watched all 10 of them again. The last dance. I had to. There's nothing else.
Do you ever question Patrick Mahomes that he loves football?
Never.
That it's his top priority? And put family aside, because that's not fair. But, you know, professionally speaking.
Guy's a football player, right?
You ever have that question about, I don't know,
when Patrick Mahomes is doing all his commercials and everything, do you ever think that that's distracting, that that's like not, like, no.
No, because it takes like a day. It's fine.
And it's him. They're all fun.
Those things don't take the talent involved in them, which is what you would call it. That doesn't take them very long. But yeah, he's spending his offseason flying guys down to his, you know, to Texas to throw him pat, you know. And he's a lot younger. Listen, he's a lot younger than Aaron Rodgers is.
Did Aaron Rodgers take, maybe Aaron Rodgers took some wide receivers to Gaza or
to Egypt.
Giza, whatever. Maybe he went to pick cotton.
We'll see. I don't know. I don't know how this is going to go for Mr. Rodgers, but I hope for Breece Hall's sake it goes really well. 869-1240. You can leave. We've got some comments on that on our video streams as well. You can see those there. Facebook, YouTube, X. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. It is Sports Daily. We'll get more into this Royals series, the Rays series. We'll take it a little game by game, look ahead to that a little bit, and take you through the rest of things. We'll look at it from a betting perspective. Anything out there in the Royals game that we might want a little action on tonight? It's all coming for you. Jacob Albrock, Rick Regan in. It's Sports Daily. Welcome back in, everybody. Jacob Albrock here alongside Rick Regan. We are taking you through a Tuesday. We've got our text to win contest out there for you. You can text the keyword TEA to short code 20357. Win some HTO iced tea and coffee. Again, our one time a day message and data rates apply. We are making our way into a Royals baseball. It was, you know, you get those days off, Rick, on when the team does something great, like taking 3 out of 4 in Cleveland, and you're just like, man. Let's just keep playing. Let's just stay hot here. Except the Royals hadn't had a day off in a long time. They get 3 over the next 2 weeks, so rest will not be an issue here. You got a good team coming in. You got a hot team coming in. You got a team that's been there before. You know, they're not afraid of these things. Certainly, they're ready to try and put themselves back in a position to reach the postseason again. And if you're the Royals, you're at home. And it's pretty simple. The Royals are favored tonight behind Brady Singer. So they're slight favorites. Not a whole lot, though. You look at by Vegas here, it's minus 120 at ESPN Bet. So the Royals are your favorite. Again, it is a slight favorite. Your over-under is set at 9.5. I don't love any of that, quite frankly. You could take the Royals. Well, see, this is interesting. You can get the Royals at -1.5 at +175 if you think they might win and win by 2 runs. You get better. I don't really love any of it, I don't think, from a betting perspective tonight. I guess I would lean to the Royals. It's Brady Singer's, you know, when he's good, he's real good, and when he's not. But it's a tougher call for me from a betting perspective, but certainly it's a game I think just at the base of it you expect to win if you're the Royals. So then lining up in the rest of the series, it'll be Waka tomorrow and Alec Marsh on Thursday for the July 4th game. You get this series against Tampa, who's on fire, and you get it without your two aces. So what are we looking at here, Rick? I mean, if we've talked in the first hour about expectations, all these things, how many wins? I mean, I think certainly it's a series. You don't want to lose any home series. I think the expectation for the Royals, the rest of them, I don't care who they're playing, is to win their home series. But, I mean, would it be reasonable to think sweep here without your two aces, without Reagans, without Lugo? I mean, is that within the cards here? Should they just try to be winning a series? This is an interesting one. It's kind of mixed in here. And the way it's all lining up in the rotation makes expectations a little bit more difficult for me.
Well, maybe we get a little social success here, too. You know, we've had some rest. The guys are traveling. It's a holiday. The stands are going to be packed all 3 days, tonight, tomorrow, and Thursday.
You know, you would think so, yeah.
You know it's going to be big nights. Big nights of games.
So let's see what Tampa, I know they've been red hot lately. Okay, so they were at home for a stretch. So this is their first part of a road trip. So I think that's less of, and they did also have a day off yesterday. So they'll be fine. I think it's less of, you know, them coming on the road is less of a problem for them than it might be, you know, for normal circumstances. I think it's, I mean, you gotta, I don't know. I just have had a hard time with this series. I think you can keep it simple though. I think you can keep it simple that it appears the Royals have found a groove again and they're at home. So you at least take two or three. And I think you keep sweep in mind. You don't have your two aces. Here's the other thing, though. If you can get through this, you know, with wins, now you get your two aces on the road. And yeah, it's against Colorado, but maybe it may be a good chance to win a road series, which they haven't done a lot of this year.
Yeah, and it's only two games, too. It's a little quickie weekend in and out, win two games. That's good action. And then straight down 70 to Cardinals, I think, are next, right? So it's a lot of
you get Colorado in between it. So they gotta buzz over to Colorado for three, and then they get that two game series with St. Louis, and then they get a big one. If this weekend at home against Tampa is big, on the road against Boston right before the All-Star break is even bigger. That series, as it lines up right now, you would get Reagans and Lugo and Singer. So and you'd get Singer in the day, which has been a thing, by the way. Brady Singer's been really good in day games this year. That Boston series lines up for you perfectly. And that will be a tremendous opportunity for Kansas City, because that is one of the teams they're going to be competing with. Tampa is too. So you look at that, and you know, St. Louis is good. They're not going to be competing with St. Louis for a playoff spot, obviously, and Colorado stinks. So it's an interesting stretch of games. It is. After the All-Star break, the Royals come back and they'll get the White Sox. They'll get Arizona. They'll get the Cubs. Then they get the White Sox again. Then they get Detroit again. Then you're looking at a pretty soft stretch of the schedule. I mean, of all of those teams we just talked about, I mean, none of them are really that good after the break. The Diamondbacks are two games under 500, so I don't think I would call them bad. Of course, they went to a World Series last year, but the Cubs have really struggled. I mean, the Cubs are one of the worst teams in the National League right now. But you're looking at a stretch where you get the White Sox twice, the Diamondbacks, the Cubs, Detroit, before you play Boston again. And then it gets to be a pretty tough stretch for a minute after that. But yeah. Here's the thing with Kansas City. You look at it, and until they get to August 23rd, they get it. There's mixed into all of that is a really big series in Minnesota, but between the All-Star break and that, there are a lot of winnable games for the Royals. All right, let's real quick before we take our final break. Anthony wants to chime in. What's up, Anthony? Welcome into Sports Daily.
Hey, I know you guys probably know me well enough. No, I'm not a real big baseball guy, but I am kind of following along. I guess as the Royals go is where I go. I guess that's the big thing. So
yeah.
You know, my thing is with the Royals is, you know, win the games you're supposed to win. That's the simple mathematics. Win the games you're supposed to win. Win the series that you're supposed to win. Sweep them if you can. But then at the same token, to really build your confidence, you also have to be able to win some of those series that no one expects you to win. And I think that will really bode well for their confidence. I want to say real quick, kind of getting off topic, I had a great weekend because I got to check out a lot of basketball action. You guys probably know about this, but it was the I-35 Showcase Series. A lot of good girls basketball action. And the surprising thing is how many coaches was out checking out some of these young talents. So
that's awesome. I saw a lot of young basketball players out and about. That's probably why, in uniform around town. I bet that's what that was. That's cool.
Yes, that's what it was. So I just wanted to throw that out there, too. And, you know, the state of Kansas, we're blessed to have a lot of good girls basketball action. A lot of coaches are actually looking at it at such a young age. So get out and support these young ladies. But, yeah, that's my thing on the Royals. Win those series that you're supposed to win. Sweep them if you can, but steal some that no one expects you. And I believe if they do that, then that helps their confidence even more and puts them in a better position. And who knows, good dogfight for the division between them and Cleveland. And, of course, we know Jeff Lutz, he's a Cleveland fan. Sorry about that. Sorry about his luck, but, you know, it is what it is. I'm just throwing some shade
at
him.
Yeah, I know. Listen, I know. You got to throw that shade. Of course you got to throw that shade when you're a hometown fan of the Royals. I'm with you. Thank you, Anthony, for the call. We'll talk again soon. I think you're right on with it. And then it just becomes, you know, back to the question. So if you're winning the series you're supposed to win, Tampa, they're hot, but that's a series at home that you're supposed to win if you're the Royals. And they get it tonight, by the way. You'll hear coverage of that game beginning right here on KFH at 7 o'clock. And if you want, you know, more baseball coverage and you're not in your car, you can also go to the Odyssey app and you can listen right there to the Royals games. And we'll be right here tomorrow to probably overreact to that one game, because that's the beauty of good baseball, Rick, is you get to overreact to one out of 162 each and every day of the summertime. That's why I love baseball.
Every pitch.
Good baseball. Good baseball. All right, we'll come back. We'll tell you what else is on the network and wrap things up next on Sports Daily.
From Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. This is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome in, everybody, and welcome to a Tuesday edition of Sports Daily. It is Jacob Albrecht, Rick Regan back in for Tommy today. Tommy will be back with us tomorrow. Glad to be here with you on KFH. That IHOP hotline is open for you today at 869-1240. You can join in the fun that way, or you can join in the fun on our video stream, which you can find on Facebook, on YouTube, and on X, soon to be found on 12 News Plus, as we're going to start up a simulcast there. We're really looking forward to that opportunity. More on that a little bit later in the week, but know that it's coming, and know we've got some fun stuff in the works here for you on Sports Daily. The Royals get back in action today. We will spend certainly some time with the Kansas City Royals today. We will get into a very disappointing evening for the U.S. men's national soccer team. Now, I'm no soccer expert, but I've got thoughts on, you know, generally speaking.
Fire that USA coach. Fire that coach.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know anything about him either, but we'll dig into that. We do know something about Lincoln Cure, one of the best high school prospects the state of Kansas has ever produced. He makes his pick. He will head to K-State, and we'll dig into just how historic a signing that is for the Wildcats, but a very cool day out in Goodland. If you missed any of it, go find TJ Cleland's work on that. My colleague over at 12 News, he did a great job, and a really cool and fun day. And I love that stuff. And I love when we still play them up big that way, because that doesn't happen as often as it used to. And it's a really special day for that community, especially. But we'll get into that later in the program as well. Rick's got a question about awards shows. Take your pick. It'll be a little later in the show as well. And all the other news and notes from the sports world. Rick, how are you this morning?
Doing well. Doing very well. Thank you. Yourself?
I'm doing good. It is. We're about to be in that stretch of
when there are no sports.
Thank goodness we have the Royals. But, you know, we're less now than 2 weeks away from that stretch of about 4 or 5 days where it's nothing. And then, you know, and then baseball gets going, and then it's training camp, and then it's just sort of full steam ahead at that point. We also learned, I don't know if you saw this, I just saw this right before we came on the air, Aaron Rodgers, we get the reason he was not at camp. We can dig into that a little bit later. It was a trip. We know where it was. Not sure that matters. But it's out there now, so we'll get it to you. Took a trip is why he missed that time. But all of this for you.
What kind of trip did he take?
To Egypt. He went to Egypt.
Oh, was it mushrooms, you know, or something like that?
I mean, do they have mushrooms in Egypt?
No, but isn't that one of his things? Doesn't he like to delve into the darkness?
Go sit in a cave or something.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows where he can take a trip and stay home?
I don't know, man. You know, to each his own. I just care if he comes out and he plays football and at what level he can play it. But, he's going to get back to it. The Jets are probably the most interesting team right out of the gate of this NFL season, because what we wanted to see last year, we didn't get to see. We just didn't get to see it. And so we hope this year, I think everybody at least hopes, that Rodgers can at least stay healthy, and then we'll see what's there. But that's all out on the table for you today. You can, of course, leave us your comments. You can call into the show, do that. We're going to have an HTO giveaway a little bit later in the show, as usual here on Sports Daily. So stay tuned for your opportunity to win some HTO iced tea and free rain coffee. All kinds of good stuff for you here. Let's start with Team USA, Rick. I'm not a soccer guy. I think people understand that. I don't I don't hate soccer. I think soccer's fine. I'm just not a soccer guy. It's not something I ever played. It's not something I ever really consumed. I understand that it's growing in popularity at a tremendous rate because my kids play soccer. And if you go out to those soccer fields, one of whichever one you want to go to on a Saturday in the fall or in the spring, and you see how many people are out there playing soccer, you can understand that it is as fast growing as it's as getting. That makes it even harder for me, though, Rick, to understand why in the hell Team USA is not one of the best teams in the world. Why can't we figure this out? We're better than everybody at everything else, right? We've got cricket teams, I think, doing something now. Like, the sports we're not even good at. We dominate the Olympics. All of these things. Why can we not figure out soccer?
Is it a head
thing? All the kids play soccer now.
You think it's a head thing?
I don't know what it is. They wouldn't let me be a goalie when I was in the first grade, so I was done with it. I didn't want to run around like that. So I don't know. I have no idea why we can't. I get hyped up for the World Cup every 4 years. And that's, you know, that I enjoy going to live soccer events. I really enjoyed being at a KC Current game. I've not seen live Sporting KC, but based on how much fun we had at the KC Current game at that stadium, I imagine it's a great live sport. I can get into it. On TV, it's pretty much the World Cup for me. I've tried to do the Premier League and all that stuff. I just can't do it. But I don't understand how Uruguay and Paraguay and Anyguay is better than us at something like this. Like, we dwarf them in size and all of these. And I get it. It's their sport. Like, they all love it more than we love it. But there are so many young people playing soccer now. How we still cannot be better represented on the international stage, I just cannot understand it. How have we not had that elite soccer player? Where's our, Messi? Where's ours? Because I see all these kids out there. Like, they're all playing it. They're all playing it. What's right. happening? What's the problem? You know, I don't get it.
We went on a cruise. We were down at Cancun or Cozumel or, one of those places. And I went into town, and there were kids playing soccer everywhere. Did they have a real ball? No, they had some rolled
like
up
we play basketball,
ball of something.
Right? I get it.
Yeah, yep. I mean, little kids kicking the ball around the yard. Our kids, we don't do that.
We do basketball probably more now, or you play, football or baseball. I get it. Yeah, that's more of the... But I'm telling you, go on a Saturday in the spring or the fall to any of the YMCAs, to the Stryker Sports Complex, and it's a sea of people. You couldn't pack any more people in there. There's so many people playing soccer. So,
Is it a selfie kind of sport? It's mostly yourself kind of selfie sport?
I don't think so.
I haven't played it. I never played soccer. I love watching it. But to me, soccer is kind of like the NHL. It's great to watch when it's the playoffs, when there's something on the line. It's way more fun than when guys are just running around.
No, I mean, look, I it's not that I even hate watching it. I don't hate watching. I hate ties. I hate flopping and faking injuries, like the silly stereotypical things we can sometimes make fun of. But the days of, dogging on soccer are long gone. Soccer is here, and it's a big deal in this country now. Like, it's a big deal. And I don't understand with that happening how we continue to not better represent ourselves on the world stage. We've got the World Cup coming here in two years.
Well, obviously.
And we've got an automatic bid, so it's not like we're not going to get in. But, if we can't beat Uruguay, and I know they're supposed to be pretty good, but,
It's the coach. It's the coach.
I guess.
Haven't you read the news? Dude, it's the coach.
Yeah, that's what everybody.
But they always the coach.
But they've been blaming the coach for how many years now?
It's America.
Forever.
America, it's the coach. It's the coach.
Where is our superstar player? That's what we thought it was going to. Remember when we thought it was going to be Freddie Adu? He maybe ended up good. I don't even know. But where's our Messi? Right? Where's our Ronaldo? Where's our Beckham? Where's that guy for us?
Do our good guys that go like to England and Europe and play on those teams? Because we do have guys in those leagues.
Well, sure.
Did they come back and play on this team?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like,
so Rick, all those guys are playing for us. Our best guys are on it.
Was our banner carrier. And maybe it's not about having the best guys. Maybe that's it, too. Maybe you just need to find the best team. I don't know, but I know somebody needs to figure it out because we have the World Cup coming here, and we have to be better. I mean, we're getting an auto bid. That happens when you host it. So we get that. I mean, we know we're in, so it's not like this cost us a spot. But, man, like, I cannot believe we got busted in this tournament. In two games, that's just ridiculous. Zero. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Hey, Wichita's been a soccer city for a long, long time.
We were early
on soccer, I think. When we had the Wichita Wings, it was like Tampa Bay Rowdies were the only two.
Where
soccer
are
teams
our
in
soccer people? I need soccer people right now to tell me why Team USA is not better than we are. And I don't know that anybody knows the answer because I could sense quite a bit of frustration last night on the old social media machines. Like, people are mad, they're hot, and that's what makes me more confident in saying that shouldn't have happened, because I always say that shouldn't have happened and probably speak like right out of my rear end on some of that, because I don't know what countries are great at this and what aren't. Like, I know Brazil's good, I know some of the European powers are good, but I don't know if Uruguay's good. I had to pull up my world geography, by the way, is awful, because I had to look up some stuff on Uruguay yesterday. I was like, oh, no, you know, I don't know a lot about Uruguay.
You're American.
I could tell you it's in South America.
There you go.
But that was all I could tell you.
That's all that matters.
Looks like a very nice place.
Sure, it's great.
But they shouldn't be beating us in soccer, in international competitions. They shouldn't beat us in anything internationally. Like, nothing. It's America. Well, let's go. We got about 2 years to figure this out. By the World Cup. And I don't know how long it takes.
We've been trying to figure it out for the last 25, so good luck.
You know, a new coach it certainly seems inevitable. I don't know how many of the players cross over. I don't know how you can mix that up. But here's the other thing. We've been so dominant on the women's side. Why can we not carry some of that over to the men's side? Who coaches the women? Can that guy coach the men? Or that person, I should say, coach the men? What have the women got figured out? The men, because they've been our banner carrier forever in soccer, between the World Cup and Olympics and all these things.
And they don't even carry it; they just lay it on the side and pretend like it's not even there. They generally sit down when the banner's on.
They have dominated in soccer, and we'll see. I don't know, but I know it was a mess last night, and that happened. Jad, you're not a soccer guy, are you?
Yeah, a little bit more than probably. Most, yeah.
Why is this happening? What is happening here?
Well, you said this is America, we should be dominating, but when you're talking about the world of soccer, this America means exactly nothing. It means nothing. We aren't even an afterthought in the world of soccer.
I mean, is it as simple as, you know, LeBron James and Bobby Witt Jr. and, you know, Tyreek Hill and all of our great athletes play the other sports, and maybe in other places their greatest athletes play soccer? Is it that simple?
That's more or less most of it, yes.
That makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes more sense, but it still amazes me because of how youth soccer has grown, though. Like, how much kids play soccer now? That's what surprises me.
Those kids playing soccer now get to high school, and they, you know, they play football, they play basketball, they run track.
So.
One of the few things they'll do is continue to play soccer.
Maybe so. We just need a handful out there. If you're star athletes, we just need a handful of you to pick soccer, please, and just help us win these things. And because here's the other thing. That aggravates me is I know how much this would aggravate the rest of the world if we were really good in men's soccer. And I need to say men's soccer because we've been fantastic in women's soccer for a long time. But imagine how angry it would make the rest of the world if we were really good at men's soccer. I mean, they already don't like us in a lot of ways. It would make them so mad if we could just sort of dominate. And so that's it for me. Like, I want to be... I want to be able to, it's almost the 4th of July here. I want to be able to be an obnoxious American about soccer, not know anything about it, jump on the bandwagon when it's convenient for me, and make fun of everybody else. Is that too much to ask?
Absolutely not. America, or better put, America.
Let's get it together, Team USA. You got 2 years.
I don't see it happening anytime soon.
Good luck to us.
We got 2 years. Figure it out. Figure it out, fellas. Don't let us down. Don't embarrass us, please. Last night was not good. So it appears to me, based on the chatter that I'm seeing here.
Well,
let's be awesome.
That's the other side of it, Jacob, though. You say you don't want them to embarrass us. They're not going to, because we don't care.
We do when the World Cup comes around. Again,
we care
when it's convenient for. Yeah, I know, right? We care when it's convenient for us, right? There was a time in my life where I was like make fun of soccer person, and that's silly now as I've gotten older and seen just how massive it is. And I love soccer at the high school level, at the youth level. And, you know, what they do out at Stryker is so much fun. And especially now that my kids play it, I just don't understand it. And that's what makes it hard for me to understand why we haven't been better internationally. I have grown to really enjoy soccer. I get, like, when I see it at a high level, I can better understand now at a high level, like, what makes it better, you know, and why they call it the beautiful game, right? I get all that now, where I maybe didn't 20 years ago, but it still aggravates me that we're not the best at it, because we're the best at almost everything. And this one has eluded us. And it makes less sense than it used to. You know, used to, I think the argument held more merit that you just made, Jed, and it may still very well be true. But there was a long time ago where, yeah, it was really clear, like, our best athletes just aren't playing soccer. But we have a lot of kids playing soccer. I mean, go watch, you know, like state playoff games just in the state. Like, it's just like, man, like, and these kids are going to college and doing great things. And we have all these players going internationally. We just can't get it together collectively. Maybe it is a coach. I don't know. Where's Ted Lasso when you need him? Right? Rally the troops.
Come on, Ted.
Get Jason Bateman out there. Where's Jad? Jad, you want to coach soccer?
I probably wouldn't be very good.
Yeah. Don't get offsides. Kick. I wouldn't either. Let's go, Team USA.
I could teach them the rules. I'm just not very motivational.
There aren't a whole lot of rules, really, are there? Just don't kick other guys and can't kick it past the other dude. That's about the only two rules, aren't there?
Can't be offsides.
Yeah, there's a little more to it than that.
And don't kick other guys. Yeah. You just can't run up and kick a guy.
Well, you can, but you get flagged for it. Penalty card.
I love the cards. The card
2 years.
Stuff is fun.
2 years, Team USA. Get it together. Wake up call. We got the World Cup coming. That was at Arrowhead, too, dadgummit. We got the World Cup coming. Let's figure it out.
What if Arrowhead's not there in 2 years?
It'll be there in 2 years. It's hosting World Cup games. It'll be there. It may be in transition at that point, which is interesting. We haven't talked about this. Missouri's governor is trying to make a last-ditch effort on that. I don't know how much you followed that, Rick. Where do you generally fall in the bringing Chiefs/Royals over the state line into the state of Kansas through a star bond?
I think it would be great, of course. And if they put them up there by the track, that'd be awesome. But I think that since we went first, Missouri's not going to let that happen. And now we've said what we're doing. So now they can just come back and do that.
They haven't said everything.
They can come back and do better.
They've been pretty secretive.
But we have given Missouri a chance to do something else, right? I mean, they can come back.
Yeah, we've given it. Basically, what we've given them, from what I can tell, is the number that we would pay for X percentage through the star bonds. And so they've at minimum got to match that, but they also don't have, you know, state governments run differently. I don't think they have a star bond, so they still have a lot more hurdles. There are no more hurdles in the state of Kansas. Like, it's right there. Now the Missouri will have its time to react, and we'll see how patient the Chiefs and Royals want to be. I find it hard to believe when you see the Jaguars most recently, they're going to publicly fund 55%. Kansas has offered up more than 70%. Kansas is way above the average. You think Missouri's going to get that high? I don't think there'll be an appetite for it publicly, because people there would just say, well, just let them go to Kansas. I'll still just drive over there. Who cares? Right? If you're a voter there, Starbonds make it interesting because it's not directly out of your pocket. It's usage tax. But I find it hard to believe that if it has to go to a vote of any kind, I don't think it's going to pass based on what we saw the last time, especially knowing that, you know, the only thing that might motivate people to change their mind on that vote is that they leave the area, right? If the Chiefs go to wherever else, you know, they become the, I don't know, Nashville Chiefs.
I don't see that ever happening.
Whatever. Well, that's what I mean, though. So if you feared that, well, it happened in St. Louis. But if you feared that, if you were living in the region, that might be one thing. But knowing now that they could just go right over to Kansas, like if I lived on the Missouri side, I'd be like, who cares? I'll just drive over to Kansas and watch a game. I got to drive just as far as I did to get to the old Arrowhead. What difference does it make? Let them do it. Let them pay for it. I would do.
Should be great for us.
Hey, yeah. You talked about it earlier when we were talking about soccer, how fun it would be to make the world so mad. How mad would we make Chiefs fans if Oakland got the Chiefs, if they became the Oakland Chiefs? That would just be infuriating.
Don't even say things like that, Chad.
It'd be funny.
Goodness. What kind of blasphemy are we spitting out here? All right, 869-1240. Let's talk Royals. We're getting that big series with the Rays underway today. We'll preview that series. We got to get this Lincoln Cure story. Just what a really, really fun day out in Western Kansas. The state of Kansas doesn't get a lot like that. Certainly Western Kansas doesn't get a lot like that. So we'll take you back through that day, look through some of the historical points of that for Kansas State landing that level of a recruit. All kinds of fun today here on the program. By the way, KFC. KFH and Odyssey invite you to join us at the spectacular Independence Day event. It's Red, White, and Boom, Thursday from 6 to 10. Enjoy an electrifying live performance by the astronauts at Riverfront Stadium. Indulge in a feast from a variety of food trucks stationed at the Hyatt Lawn. Then watch the fireworks show at 9:40. This event, proudly presented by Evergy and co-sponsored by Wichita Parks and Rec, Wichita Parks Foundation, and the Wichita Wind Surge. More Sports Daily right after this.
.975 and 1240 KFH.
Baseball coverage on KFH is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Speaking of baseball, we're back at it. Just a handful of games last night. Lots of teams had the night off. The Royals back in action tonight, and they take on the Tampa Bay Rays, who are very much heating back up, very much getting to where we probably thought they would be. This is a moderately large series looming here. Kansas City trying to continue some momentum after the 3 out of 4 against Cleveland. Offense seems to have woken back up, and here we go. It is a pitching matchup featuring Brady Singer, not in the daytime. They're games at home. They're against a good team. But if the Royals are going to be in this thing, Rick, you got to win this kind of series. You got to take care of business at home, because we know right now that the Royals are totally unreliable on the road. So if that's the case, you got to win them at home. Need 2 out of 3 here? Maybe better. But it starts tonight with Brady Singer.
It's going to take a good percentage of wins to secure a berth in the playoffs, to become a wild card team.
And they've
got to win some at home.
What do you think that number needs to be, by the way?
75?
For the wild card. So, right. No, I know that's where they are now, but is it 90? Is it 92 by the end of the season? I'm looking 547 as a winning percentage. Let me just see if I can find roughly. So, last year, the Blue Jays had a 549 winning percentage. That equated to 89 wins. So the Royals are probably, and 543 is 88 wins. So you could say right now the Royals are on pace for 88.5 wins. Now, I would tell you that I don't think that's going to be good enough this year, 88.5. So they need to get a little bit better. 88.5 would not make the playoffs most of the time, even with the expanded wild card. But 90 about does. Right, so it's not like they have to get a lot better, but when you think about it with the Royals, and you think about this point of the season, which is, we're a little over halfway there, But they're 8 games over .500 right now. Nobody on the planet would have told you they would be 8 games over .500 86 games into the season, but they are. And it's not probably good enough yet. So, you know, if you how realistic, and I think this is why those, you know, analytics and projecting and all that stuff still doesn't love the Royals' chances, because what you have to imagine is for as good as the you know, the season has gone, as they have been much better than their expectation, it's not good enough. And I think that's what probably has the computers not loving their chances. So when we look at the Royals, you basically have to say they need to be, let's say, 2 or 3 games better than they were up to this point. That's a pretty big ask, I think. Now, if you break down the schedule and you really dig in, I think it's certainly doable. You know, more than like the computers do. I think they're going to get some schedule relief. I think that a lot of the players, well, not a lot, but a few of the players in the offense have nowhere to go but up. I think the starting pitching is very much for real, and I think that the big bats at the top of the lineup are certainly for real. So I actually do think there's room for improvement. I wouldn't risk it. I'd go make some moves at the trade deadline. If you've listened to this show, you know how I feel about that. But I do think it's possible. But I understand why the predictive places don't like the chances as much, because basically they have to be better than what they've been so far, and they've been so much better so far than anybody thought they would be.
Yeah, and they got to be careful in so much as other teams kind of control the Royals' destiny right now. Other teams really go on rolls. Other teams pile up wins. That's bad news for the Royals. The Royals have to keep their head up and above water compared to the rest of the field. You know, I mean, if other guys in our division and the Central start doing real well, that's going to really put the squeeze on the Royals.
Well, I think you can count on Cleveland and Minnesota kind of still doing what they've been doing. You know, will Cleveland still be 22 games over .500? That's, I don't know about that. But Minnesota's right there. I mean, you're chasing both of them to begin with. So you got to start there. I've thought for a while it's probably looking more at the wild card. But to your point, what's a problem here is you've got the Yankees and the Orioles both looking like they may win 100 games this year. You've got Cleveland on that sort of pace. Then you just look at a group of teams between Seattle, the Twins, the Royals, the Astros, the Rays, the Red Sox, perhaps, if they can stay in it. Like, there's just a whole lot of teams that you could see winning a lot of games and getting hot. And I agree with you. That is one of the more dangerous things that faces the Royals, and why I can't quite get my head around what I think that magic number might be this year. You know, what I keep wanting to say, like, is it 95? But that's never the case at the end of these seasons. Wild card teams, you know, there are outlier years, but in sort of recent history, like in 22, Tampa got in with 86 wins, right? The Royals are ahead of that pace right now. It just doesn't feel to me like it's that kind of year, though. It feels to me more like, you know, in 21, let's say, in 2021, in the wild card race, you had 4 teams with 90 or more wins in the mix. So I just told you in 22, 86 wins, Rick, got Tampa into the postseason. The year before that, 86 wins left Oakland in 5th place in the wild card chase. So it does vary, certainly, from year to year, but this, to me, does feel like a year where it's going to take at least 90 and perhaps a little bit more, which tells you the Royals have to pick up the pace. And that feels like a big ask, you know, picking up the pace for a team that has overachieved by this margin up to this point.
It's going to be pitching. It's going to be hitting.
Which they have.
So who do you think is available? Who do you think what do they need? What do they need to add to this team?
That's a great question. And the other problem that presents itself, and some of our great Royals fans have pointed this out, and I think they're exactly right. The fact that there are so many teams that probably feel like they can still make a run at this certainly dwindles the pool of sellers. And I think that gets pretty interesting. So if I'm a team sort of on the cusp, let's say I'm Toronto, for example, 38-46, you know, still within 8 games of a wild card spot, but they would have to pass five other teams just to get in. That, to me, is a team that could really set itself up at the deadline if they chose to sell early. Now, that's a hard ask because they've invested a lot in this roster. We know the Angels and the A's and the White Sox are going to be sellers. That's clear. We know that the Rockies and the Marlins and probably the Cubs are going to be sellers. I say the Cubs. The Cubs are at 39 wins, are only five games out, so maybe not yet. Again, that's the problem. So you're looking really, there's probably only five teams that would tell you on July 2nd that they are for sure sellers. And that and everybody wants to pick from those rosters. So right now they can drive the price up. And until other teams fall out of it, the price is going to be really high for those bad teams. That does make it harder to make a move now. But at the same time, the Royals don't have a lot of wiggle room. And they may not have a choice but to wait till the trade deadline. Because of these circumstances.
What do we do? Just buy a big arm?
I don't think they... Well, bullpen arm maybe, but I think they need a bat. I think they also need a bullpen arm. Look, the Royals don't have a lot to work with. They're going to have to... If the Royals do anything splashy or even moderately splashy at the deadline, my guess is it's going to be because they're willing to pay out a contract and spend some money. Now, they spent money in the offseason. Do they have any more money to spend? Can they spend money would be the question, because I don't think putting together a massive package of prospects is either A, what the Royals desire, or B, what they can even do, because they don't have very much on the farm right now. So probably anything that they do comes with a price tag of cash money, because teams will want to dump contracts, and they should be willing to take those on. Now, small market baseball, I don't know if they have the financial wherewithal to do that. I have no idea. Never seen the books. Don't know how this has gone. You know, they spent a lot of money by their turn. They spent a lot of money this offseason.
Does management need to think they have a chance to do the whole thing, or is success in the playoffs good enough?
Oh yeah, just reaching the playoffs is enough. I don't think it's like World Series or bust for the Royals.
Well,
that's what's interesting, because it doesn't make a lot of sense to me to spend what they spent and bring in the players that they brought in if you're not willing to sort of push it all in for a couple of years. Because otherwise, the additions that you made don't make as much sense. Usually, when teams go and they spend significant amounts of money, and look, there are teams that spend more, but in relative terms, the Royals spent a ton of money this offseason. It doesn't make sense to me, from a business perspective for them, to do that and then not follow that up. Sort of just, you know, like half-assing it. Like, that doesn't make a lot of sense. They did go big, so why not continue to do that? There are a lot of problems, though. The regional baseball networks are a problem right now. Teams don't know how much money they have. Like the Rangers, who desperately needed to make moves, didn't make any because they don't know what their TV deal looks like. They're basically like, we're out of money. We can't. The Royals have the same television partner with Bally. I don't know how much that plays into it. That uncertainty. I mean, I think there is very much a possibility that this sort of is just like, how big a check are you willing to write, John Sherman? And he's trying to build a new ballpark, so maybe he's willing. I don't know. There is interesting a team, because we don't know where the resources would come from, and we don't know if they're available. And then, you know, Tommy has said multiple times he doesn't think it's a terrible idea to just ride through what they have like they did in 2014. I think it's a little bit different of a roster makeup for that, but I think they could. I mean, I think that's definitely a possibility, because they just don't have any more resources. And at that point, you have to ride it and, you know, bank on these players still doing their thing. I do think that not all of these hitters will, you know, be as unproductive as they were in the first half. I think there is room for improvement, which is a good thing. I don't think they need to do much. I think they're small additions. Where is an old veteran bat on an expiring contract that doesn't cost us much, that can just get in and even become a rotational player in the lineup? I think you start there. Bullpen arms are going to come at a premium for a while. They may not be able to get in the business of a bullpen arm, but you can win with a bad bullpen. It's frustrating, but you can do it.
It's going to be
a
long month.
There have been worse bullpens. It will be. It'll be a long month. It'll be a stressful month. It'll be a very stressful month for Royals fans. Hopefully they just win a ton of games. Hopefully it, you know, this turnaround we saw in Cleveland last, and I really should say Miami. I mean, they've won, what does that make, 6 out of their last 7 games. You just hope that continues, and then that makes all these decisions a whole lot easier, maybe not, but less stressful, certainly. All right, we'll come back. We've got more Sports Daily coming for you. We'll get to this Aaron Rodgers story. We find out where he's been hanging out. Lincoln Cure, the newest K-State Wildcat. All kinds of good stuff for you. It's all coming. It's Sports Daily. It's a Tuesday. Jacob Albrock, Rick Regan. We'll be right back.
I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
This portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. They're getting ready for a big 4th of July celebration out at the club. Be a big fireworks show. If you're anywhere in Far East Wichita, you will probably see that fireworks show. Rick and I, we're both out there. Rick, you a connoisseur of the big fireworks show out at Crestview?
Absolutely. I walk out the back door. I watch the fireworks. We got people coming over. We're doing brats and all that. It's really a good fireworks show.
It's a great show. We it's great because you get there, you kind of get set up early, and then what's been really nice is you got the kids out there, and then you gotta like imagine getting, and there's a lot of people, so everyone's got chairs, but you get out there and then kids have got to be entertained for like 2.5 hours until the sun goes down. Mm-hmm. So everybody gets out there, you get loaded up, and it's like, all right, now we gotta wait for it to get dark. Well, the good thing is, find folks at Crestview. We always go around the 18th. They play in the bunker. It's like a giant sand trap.
Yeah, the giant sand traps.
They just it turns into great. They bring like shovels and stuff, and they just kind of play in there. It's a great event. So check it out. Give them a call.
Even if you don't golf, you know, people should really consider the social membership out there, because
that's what we did for a long time.
Get in all kinds of fun stuff.
Yeah. We enjoy the pool. We use the pool more than anything. I say that all the time. We use the pool more than anything else out there.
Never been in the pool.
Got onto the swim team. It's a blast. and then you can do the golf, which I'm trying to do more of now. I've graduated to, Rick, I think, you know, I can only play 9 holes at a time because I just don't have time. Twilight golf has sort of become my thing lately. But look, I played like 5 times in the last 3 weeks, which is more than I've played in the last 3 years.
Are you doing the Tuesday men's night thing? Do Tuesday nights. You meet lots of nice guys. If you're not a big golfer, you don't know much about it, there's a thing on Tuesdays where it's just 9 holes. You pair guys up with different players, and you meet a lot of people. That's the social part of a club.
My TV schedule keeps me and prevents me from doing a lot of that stuff because I can't get there till after 7 o'clock. But it's okay because Twilight Golf has been fun. I take one of the kids out with me and we just cruise around, and it has become something I really enjoy. I got to look for the next day that it's not 1,000 degrees at 7:15, and I'll do it again. But 4th of July party's out there. Give Crestview a call. Tell them we sent you. Looking forward to that party here this weekend. Let's also hear, Rick, let's set up our giveaway for the show today. Let's give away our HTO iced tea and our free rain coffee. So what you can get here is a free card that will get you an iced tea, any of the 20 flavors. You can mix and match. Go in, check it all out. That's good for East Wichita, West Wichita, or Derby. And then we'll get you a free rain coffee, which is good for any of the coffees, which
hey, I
is
can,
good
can
in
I just
East
chime
Wichita
in?
Or in Derby. So real quick, TEA to short code 20357 to enter that contest. Message and data rates apply. You can enter one time a day. What's up?
Those places are great. Perfect. They're perfect for this long holiday weekend coming up. Man, you can go in there. You can sample. You can get gallons of all the different flavors.
Yeah, everybody colors. Knows I'm biased.
Black tea, green tea. You got to switch your flavor.
It's my wife and I's business, just for full disclosure.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, no kidding.
You didn't know that.
Well, let me tell you this. I didn't know that, and I love your business, and there's a couple of those blueberries. Oh, man, some of those teasers.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. Well, yeah, the sweet blueberry is one of the favorites. It is the unsweet blueberries, caffeine-free, by the way, if you're looking for a kid's option or you don't want the caffeine. No, it's a good
pound
weekend.
That
to,
tea. You can pound those
Well, you trees. Get a gallon. We're taking a look, and you know, another thing, we're going to a neighborhood, you know, 5th of July party, which, by the way, one of my Grandpa Sammy's favorite terms for, you know, 4th of July is that you celebrate the 4th with a 5th. but in that vein, they are also good mixers. We take, you know, we mix up a gallon and bring it in, and people can make cocktails with it too, which is always a lot of fun. But yeah, no, you can get your hands on some of that if you haven't tried it. We'd invite you to. You can text to win some free tea and free coffee right now with the keyword TEA to short code 20357. Message and data rates apply. All right, coming up in the second hour, we'll start things off with Lincoln Cure. I don't know how much you guys got to see of that yesterday. I loved it so much. It got played up big. Big deal for the state. Big deal for Goodland, Kansas. Big deal for that kid. And it is nice to see the old school style commitments like that that we saw so often. Now it doesn't happen that way, but we'll dig into that, what it means for K-State, some of the historical value there. Also, Aaron Rodgers. We know why he didn't show up to camp. We'll pick Rick's brain on this. I just am real curious on how successful people think this might be. How much success will the Jets be able to have? We'll look at their win total. We'll look at a couple of different things with the Jets. Of course, Breece Hall there makes them of local interest to us. We root for his success big time. And he has a chance to have an unbelievable season with if Aaron Rodgers can stay healthy. So we'll get into those two things, maybe a little bit more on the Royals as well. The phone lines, the IHOP hotline will be open for you at 869-1240. You can also leave your comments on our video streams, Facebook, YouTube, X, soon to be 12 News Plus. More on that partnership later in the week. We're looking forward to that. All kinds of good stuff. But that's all coming in hour number two for you here on Sports Daily. By the way, if you're on your way into work, you want to keep listening to us, let's say you got a 10 o'clock start to your day, just download the Odyssey app, and you can listen to us right there on the Odyssey app or odyssey.com. Just search KFH, and you can put it on that way. That's how I listen to the Infinity Sports Network or the Royals baseball games, whatever it is, when I'm out mowing the yard. That Odyssey app's handy. You won't believe the amount of content on that app. All right, we'll come back. Hour number two. It's all Brockton Regan, Sports Daily, on a Tuesday.
In Odyssey Sports Station, this is 97.5 and 1240 KFH, KNSS HD2 Clearwater, Wichita's most listened to sports radio.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.